Okay. Simin Shin Beis. The Mechaber deals with Dine Kipul, Nikui V'Kipul Begadim, cleaning clothing, folding clothing. So just as a short hakdama, one of the Lamentas Malachas is Malavein. After you cut, you shear the wool from the sheep, so you have to wash it. It's full of impurities, full of dirt. So we usually refer to this as laundry and kibbutz. And there are really three stages. If you ever put clothes in a washing machine, things haven't changed. The first stage is that the clothes are soaked, and that itself loosens some of the impurity, some of the dirt. And then if you watch the machine, it kind of like agitates the clothes, it's moving around. And then finally, there's the skita, where the clothes are moved vigorously around and the water is drained. And that those three stages of shriya and excuse me, shifshuf and skita still are true today. Usually machines do it, we don't do it ourselves. But that's the basic of the basics of libun. So the mechaber begins. Pardon?
Kibbutz equals libun. Kibbutz is considered a malacha, or is
it just a name? The av is malabein. I guess the kibbutz is. There's always a question of the Shabbos. To what extent are things told us? Are they just ein avs, whatever? But okay. So the mechaber tells us the first sif. It's from a Gemara in Shabbos Kufim Zayin. A minar talis chadash ashchora min a tal shalea. You have a talis, you have a garment that is new and black, and it has some dew on it. So you shake it off. You don't want to wear it with the dew. It doesn't look nice. So you shake it off. A niur yafila kimo kibus. That's the equivalent of laundering it. V'hu shemakbir alea shelo lovsha b'lo niur. So it's only the equivalent of kibus if you taka wouldn't have worn it when it was wet with this dew. Now this, there's a machlokes shown him how to understand the Gemara there. What do you mean minayir? Is it that it's dusty or it's wet? So the most we've shown him hold that it's wet, that's how the Mechaber paskins. You have a wet garment and you can't shake off the towel because that is a violation of Mechabes. Now, when we say shachor, it doesn't have to be that necessarily black. Anything that's dark, so it's more nicker, there's something on it. So if it's dark gray or dark blue, that would also be problematic. Chadasha, also, once upon a time, people were more makbid on new clothing. Even today, if it's brand new, you're more makbid on your clothing. So if it's not new, you're not so careful, and therefore it wouldn't be a significant act. If you mamash launder, it's one thing. Here, you're just shaking off the dew. It's not really considered laundering. We're holding here in Simin Shin Beis. Okay. So that's the Mechaber. The Rama writes, V'kol shekein she'osr l'nar beged she'nasha v'mayim asher yardu alav k'shamim. So certainly if the clothes are, saturated, you can't shake them out. V'davka beged chadash she'makbir alav. Another Rama says, "V'yish omrim to also l'nar beged mina avak." This is the sheet of Rashi that when the Gemara speaks about shaking off the beged, it's a beged that is dusty. This is probably more relevant to us. Most of us, you wear a dark suit, and the suit jacket got dirty or the pants got dirty. So it's always better to avoid that. You hang them on, but sometimes it falls on the floor and get dirty. So, are you allowed to shake off the dust from the jacket? So the Rama says the Mechaber would have no problem with this because the Mechaber passing like Moshe showed you that we're talking about liquids. If there's no liquids, unless you do it very vigorously, you would be just to shake it off a little bit. That would be okay for the Svardim for the Shulchan Aruch. Any Svardim here? Okay, it's always good to know the Svardim Pesach. It's important, but when somebody's in the kshir, so it's mechayev. You have to see what Ravadi says. But okay, it should be mechayev either way. But lemaisa, the Ashkenazim paskin that even dust would be problematic. V'tov lachash l'dvarav. So the Rama, it doesn't sound like he's so committed. Tov lachash l'dvarav. The Mishabura says no, we talk a paskin that way. That we hold the dust, even though there's no water, you're still in violation of kibbutz by taking dust off a beged. Now again, it has to be a beged that you wouldn't wear otherwise. A beged that really bothers you. The post can talk about the possibility of something that in a weekday wouldn't bother you. On Shabbos, you know, you're more careful. Yeah.
What do you mean by
you wouldn't wear it. You would be embarrassed because it's dusty.
Embarrassing? Or?
It's embarrassing, yeah. It's uncomfortable for you, you know. So they say that if you would wear it during the weekdays, it's okay. It's interesting. It's a read like that. It's practical halacha. Shlomo Zalman has it that way. That if you wear it in the weekdays, even though on Shabbos you're more makin for your clothing, that's not called makin. It's not significant enough. You're not actually laundering it. You're just dusting it off. And if something you would wear on a weekday with this amount of dust, so even on the Shabbos you wouldn't, that would be okay. So that's an important kula. But some of the poskim are a little concerned. You know, they're not sure exactly. You know, what's dark? Everything's dark, and even not dark things were makbid on today. You know, because most of us are more careful about hygiene than they were in the past. So you wouldn't want to wear a dusty white or a yellow or shirt, not necessarily a black shirt. Meaning, so if the issue is how makbid you are today, many people are very makbid. They're very meticulous to wear nice clothing and not dusty clothing, and therefore it might already become makbid. Once it's makbid, it's already a problem of kibbutz. So there's a certain amount of subjectivity here in the psak. Now there's actually an interesting discussion. Be'er Halacha that references this. Let's say a person himself is very makbid, but he has a friend who's like a slob and he doesn't really care. So can you ask him to take off your jacket? Is it go based on the owner of the beged or based on the person doing the malacha? There's a similar question in Hilchas Borer when it comes to filtering water. You know, some people, you know, they don't really care, it's filtered, not filtered. Other people, they won't touch the water that's not filtered. They're very concerned about whatever's in the water. So the postscript may say that a person who's really concerned, so him, it might be considered a problem of Borer. A person's not concerned, so he would drink the water either way. So can I ask my neighbor who doesn't really care about the filtered water to filter the water for me, and I'll drink it, because I do care. Where do you, is it based on the owner of the water, based on the person doing malacha? And it's interesting, a question in different areas of Hilchas Shabbos. It probably makes sense to be machmir, that if you're careful and meticulous about it, you shouldn't ask somebody else to do it for you. Now, just, you know, the focus here is on halacha l'maisa. So halacha l'maisa, if your suit jacket gets dirty, so there's a very easy, you usually hang it up in the closet, and you know, as it's moving around, you walk between people at a kiddush, you know, you're able to lie down on a bed, and it kind of like gets usually cleaned on its own. So the poskim say that would be mutter. That's like misasek. Even though your intention is that toch kedei, your other actions, the dust will come off, you shouldn't sit there like, you know, hitting the jacket. But if you wear it in a normal way and the dust falls off, that's really okay. So that's why the halacha, this isn't so relevant. We're going to get that to sif in the Shulchan Aruch a little later on. So we'll get to that soon. Yeah? Right, so if people live in a place where there's a lot of dust, they're not so careful. So then are you more kal if you're, you know, in a chenami. Now, as you mentioned before, the Bechaber spoke about the fact that you shouldn't shake off your dark garment. If you have a nylon, plastic raincoat, so you can shake it off. There's no kibbutz in that respect. You know, kibbutz is only subject to material. So when it comes to leather, there is a discussion we'll see soon about whether or not you can, you know, vigorously rub it, but soaking it, leather doesn't really absorb. So there's no issue with. So for our purposes, a raincoat, if it doesn't absorb the water, so then you can shake it off. That's not a problem at all. If you have a regular raincoat that's made out of material, so you can shake it off a little bit. You shouldn't like shake it off vigorously. That would be a violation of this issue, of this shif and shulchan aruch. Another issue that's relevant with raincoats that some of the poskim talk about is the question of hanging them up. You know, you come in and you're drenched, so you're not going to shake it off vigorously. Great, but what are you going to do with it? So if you hang it up in your laundry room, so is that Ma'ar Zayin? Now, it might depend on what the raincoat's made out of. If it's the type of raincoat that you always send to the cleaners, so there's probably no Ma'ar Zayin, because nobody's going to wash it at home. But many of the coats you can actually wash. So if it's a coat that you could wash, you shouldn't hang it up in a place where it looks like you might have just washed it. I saw some posting want to say that it's really not an issue because it's obvious it's raining outside, so what's the marizayin? So that's an interesting question. You know, Chadra Chadarim, there is a din in Shulchan Aruch with, they used to have cloth diapers. So if it's a cloth diaper, so you see it's dirty, so of course you can hang it on the clothesline because you see it's dirty. But, like, I don't know if that's exactly the same. There, the cloth diaper is used, so you didn't wash it, it's used. Here, it's just a wet coat. So if you would tackle a wash coat like this, I don't know, to me it makes sense not to hang it up in a place where, you know, you might be... you might hang it after you wash it. If you hang it on a hook, nobody, you know, hanging in a closet, again, you probably wouldn't want to hang it in a closet because it's going to get everything wet. But hanging on a hook, that certainly is okay. Fine. Question?
Where is it mutter to hang raincoats on?
So, like I said, if it's a raincoat that you don't wash at home, then the chora can hang it anywhere. Can hang it in the bathroom. Often people hang in the bathroom things they just laundered, you know, if you don't have a laundry room, so you hang it in the bathroom. So you shouldn't hang it in a place where you normally hang your laundry. That's the concern. So hanging it on a hook, you know, hanging it on the towel rack, you know, hanging in a place where it's not normally hung, after you do laundry, that would be okay. Again, I don't know. I don't think I ever washed my raincoat at home. So I feel like if you don't wash it at home, then it's not a problem at all. Yeah.
I think it's more relevant. Often if it's really raining, you like, literally when I hang up your pants, like everything is so drenched.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing where, but my question is it subjective about, like, is a bathroom an objective thing, or is it like, I never hang up my laundry in my bathroom, so I can hang out in the bathroom?
I think if most people hang laundry in this place, you know, if people who have big homes, they have a laundry room. If you have a small apartment, you probably don't have one. You hang your laundry in your shower, right? So if that's where you hang your laundry, so then I think it would be problematic to hang it there. Again, but a suit, I don't know, do people really launder their suits at home? Most people send it to the cleaner, so it could be it's Mufka Lagamre, I don't know. Now they sell these, like, wash and wear suits. I bought one, I tried to wash it, it was ruined, so I don't know. It's the last time I tried it. So, yeah. So, we assume that you're allowed to keep on wearing your clothing. You don't have to take off your covered brios, you know, we don't tell you that, you know.
On Shabbos, because you want to change.
Right, so you take it off, you hang it up, and then...
That's fine.
If it dries, you can wear it again, you know. But, yeah.
If it dries, you can wear it again.
You can. You certainly can.
Even though it's muktzah on Shabbos.
Well, to be muktzah for all Shabbos, it has to be muktzah Erev Shabbos. So, you know, wet clothing, you're asking a good question. What happens if you hang clothing on the line Erev Shabbos? So can you wear it? So the post can say that if you live in a place where, you know, there's strong likelihood it's going to be dry on Shabbos morning, so then you never had hasakadas from it. The fact that it was wet doesn't mean that it was... If you're in a place where it's cold, middle of the winter, and it takes 3 days to dry, so then ein echanami, you weren't planning on using it, so if it was so wet that you wouldn't wear it, and on Shabbos, you probably shouldn't wear it all of Shabbos. But in most places, you know, where we live, certainly in the summer, and even in the winter, if you hang inside, usually it dries, there's heating, you know, so it's not like it once was a long time ago, you know. So it wouldn't be mixed. The Ramah continues over here. It says, "Mutar lahasir notus min abeged b'Shabbos." You can, if you some dirt fell on your beged or some feathers, then it wasn't absorbed in the beged. Meaning, kibus is to take out from between the fibers. If the dust gets between the fibers, that would be a question of kibus. But if you have confetti and if confetti is on your suit, you can take off the confetti because the confetti isn't really. It's just on it. It's not in it. It's not in the material. So that's an important halacha when it comes to the world of kibbutz, that it's only when it's actually absorbed in the beged. The Achronim wonder about the muksa aspect. Aren't feathers muksa? How can you just take a pluck off the feathers? So some give creative answers. Maybe they're feathers from your pillow. It's already mucha. Okay, but and if they weren't, it wouldn't be mutter. So some poskim say that no, even feathers that came from outside, they fell onto your beged, you can take them off. It's not an isser of muksa. Why is that? It's kind of like, you know, the fly that falls into your soup. So there's a whole issue with Hilchos Borer. How do you take out the fly from the soup? So, you know, you take it out usually with a little soup. So we assume that's okay. But what about muksa? So the soup is on muksa. The fly fell into your soup. So, like, apparently it's interesting if the... But it's not considered muksa in that circumstance. So to here, it wouldn't be considered muksa to take off the feathers. I come from Montreal, so Montreal it snows. So what happens if you come home and there's snow on your jacket? So can you shake off your jacket? It says the Chaver spoke about the tav. So the Pasha says you can shake it off, you know, it's interesting because at the beginning of the Chaver speaks about the tal on your jacket. At the end, the Rama speaks about the notzos. The notzos are mutter. The tal is aser. The tal went in. The snow, the outside of the snow is just on your jacket. So it's not really, it's not inside. So you can basically shake off the outside snow, but once you get to the bottom, there's no more snow. There's just like what's left. So that would be like the equivalent of tal. And there's a concern that maybe if it's you're something you're makbid on, that would be some type of kibbutz. Again, it's a little hard for us to relate to this because nobody, you know, it's not how we wash things, but apparently there's some aspect of kibbutz. So probably good idea to shake off the snow and then not really shake the garment, you know, to squeeze out the water. That would be problematic because of mechabit. This issue comes up, you know, not only with garments. So if a person has a carpet. So if there's some things on the carpet, you know, the kids drop pretzels on the carpet. So you can pick up the pretzels. That's not a problem with lavi. But if, you know, there's flour, they took flour and the flour went onto the carpet, and if you have guests, the flour's on the carpet, you can't, you know, take a broom and start vigorously rubbing the carpet, because that would be the equivalent of, you know, a beged that you're basically milabe. It could come up. Potentially, if you have, you know, carpets. Here in Israel, it's also common. Most people don't have carpets, but in America, it's very, very, you know, common. Okay.
What about you? See, like that example of flour, even sometimes, like, you know, you do that, unless you have, like, a cleaner, sometimes you'll spread it more.
Right.
So spread it out more than where it was.
Right. So you're saying you're not going to do it to the extent that you're going to clean the carpet, you're just going to spread it out. Is that considered cleaning? Because the area that once was very dirty now is less dirty, but now you kind of like spread it. It's like the voom in Dr. Seuss, you know, like the voom goes all over the place, you know. I don't know. I'm not really sure. It's an interesting question. Do we say that in terms of the, like, you know, square foot that once had a lot of flour, now it's much better. So, but even though flour is more... I don't know. I might inclined to be machmir, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Beis. Haloket yabalos sha'al gabe begadim. Kigon elo yabalos she vekli hatzemer hanisharim vehem min ha'ariga. So the Machaber is speaking about a person who was oreg a garment. You wove a garment with a wool string, and there were imperfections in the string. So you had like bumps in the string. So now you have a sweater, and there are these like bumps, these like fuzz balls, and you want to like take off the fuzz balls to make the sweater look a little bit more attractive. So the Mechaber says, Chayiv Yishu Makav Hadish. This is like the last thing you do. And most of us, when you go to, you know, you go to Gap, the sweater comes, you know, fuzz free. But if you're making the garment and the materials you were using weren't professionally made, so you'll have these like fuzz balls. So that's like the last thing you do to make the garment wearable, and that would be the violation of makav of hatish. Like I said, it doesn't really happen too much unless you make your own garments. Right, so if it develops, I don't know if that's actually makav patish, because makav patish is like the last thing you do when you're producing a garment. There might be a separate issue of korea, but in terms of makav patish, it might not be a problem. I don't think it's a makav patish problem. I wonder, maybe it's an issue of korea. I think it probably would be an issue of korea. They have these like things that you like rollers that take off the, if they really rip off the, you know, not just what's on the outside, but so that would, like, be problematic. Incorrect. Okay. So the Mechaber says, "V'hu shemakvid aleihem." It's only if they're significant that you really care about them. Aval im hesiram derech esek, if you just kind of like, you know, mindlessly were pulling them off, potter. And there, Mishnah Berurah says it's still aser, still aser drabanan, even though, you know, you weren't intentionally trying to do makvadish, but still it's makvadish. Question?
Yes, one thing back in the lint roller.
Yeah.
Even if it's not taking out knots or whatever.
Right.
It's just like you have a dot or whatever, and you have like that.
You have little hairs.
Fiber,
that's an interesting question. How do you look at dog hairs? Like, do they? They're really the notzos are mutter. So I don't have a dog. Once how dog sat, it was actually not pashas for us. It was a whole. Our kids love dogs, so we're like, okay, we had friends, whatever. We signed some dog sit. They had a baby. We wanted to help them out, and then it was great. We had the dog for 6 weeks. It was like at that point, the kids already lost interest, and I was like busy taking the dog outside, and like it was like, hey, we did it. We tried it. It's not working, and then I was like, okay. In any case, yeah. So how do you look at dog hairs? So I tried to remember. Was it like notes out that it was like external, or did they actually get into the fibers? I don't know.
I think
that's a raya that is more embedded, and if it's embedded, the chora would be like the avak. Yeah, I mean, in general, using a kli is more problematic because they had to before of like wiping off your suit if you're not so makbid, it's a light collar or whatever, is with your hands to lightly to wipe it off. With a kli, with a brush, it's already over to the chol problem. So I think a lint roller certainly would, even if it's not a Chavis problem, it could be Uvdin the whole problem. So yeah, I don't think you should use a lint roller on Chavis. Okay? Fine.
Yeah.
Pardon? He's against it.
Against using a kli specifically to clean clothing, even though it's hard to oscillate.
Right, there are two issues here. One is a makor patish issue, and one is the mechaves issue or uvdin lechol issue. And I think inside that, you shouldn't use the lint roller. Okay. So this issue of makor patish comes up in other contexts. I mean, we're not going to learn all about kaddish now, but just for example, you have a new sefer. Sometimes the sefer, like the pages, aren't separated. So, like, if the papers were never actually separated, when you cut them, you're actually, like, it's the last thing you do when you produce a book. So that would be a problem, potentially, of makor patish. There are other examples, obviously. In terms of what's not makor patish, the post can come out and they claim that if you buy something and there's, like, a tag on it, you can cut off the tag. Because it's true the tag is there, you know, it's the last thing you do before you wear it, but it's not in the production. The tag, it's produced, they want it to look new, they want you to know the make and the, you know, the whatever the information it has on the tag, so they put a tag on it. But it's not something that is really a din in the baguette itself. It's just an external thing, so you could cut off the tag. It's probably better to do it before Shabbos, but if you need to, you cut it on, take it off on Shabbos, as well. Or likewise, when you buy socks, they're often, like, you know, stuck together with a little plastic, like, thread. So it's not that, it's true that you can't really use the socks until you take them off because, like, you can't get your foot in them. But that's just a way of ensuring that they don't separate, you know, before they sell them to you. They want to sell you a pair. They don't want you to sell one sock. So therefore, it's not really a problem. Another issue that comes up sometimes is, like, you know, the price tag. Can you take off the price tag? So that's like a Korea issue. There it's a little bit more complicated because if we assume that the glue is like tefira, so then you're basically Korea in a constructive way. Like you don't want to have it on your baguette. You want the baguette without the price tag. So some folks can say that it's not really considered the kayama because it was there just until you bought it. So I maybe was sat on the shelf for 6 months, but really, from as far as they're concerned, they're happy you bought it next morning. So it's like, you know, not really there permanently. So we mutter. We're supposed to be megil, but there's certainly others who are not. Yeah.
Why is the price tag any more problematic than ripping off a tag?
You're saying that because when you rip off the tag, it's really garbage. It's like a piece of garbage that's there. Just like when you rip open a bag of, you know, for food or something else. But here, when you have the price tag on the baguette, again, it's not a question of malabin because it's not embedded. It's outside. But in terms of Korea, it's like there's halakhically like one garment that has like two pieces, and you're ripping off part of it and using the other parts, and it's like a little different. I think. You're talking about like pants?
The pants, set, shirts, yeah.
Right.
And shirts do not, they have stickers usually.
Right. Right. So if pants, so that would be problematic, I think. Yeah. I think that would be problematic. Again, maybe you have the svar to say that it's not really there permanently, they're just until you buy it. But it's not, so not very agree to that. So then it probably makes sense to rip off that type of tag. I was before talking about like a tag with a little a plastic thread that kind of like, you know, yeah.
When it comes to that negative photo that we're not about, like those part of the clothing or anything that we would say is not much, if there are multiple ones on the bed, it's pulling one off is still not much. Should we let six there?
It's an interesting question. Let's say you have like three tags. One is like how to launder it, and one is like the price tag. And so, would there be an isser? Again, I think we hold the mice that they're all mutter. So.
Not a tag. It's something like a sweater. The sweater has those whatever the cotton sticking off. The cotton balls.
I would think that anything. Right. So you haven't finished it, but you're still working towards it. So I think it probably is. I think it's problematic even take off one, even if there are a few others. I think it would be problematic because, meaning Taka Patish, we don't say it's only the very, very last thing. It could be that if there's a last stage, so any part of that stage would be problematic, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Sorry, just clarifying principles here for Mivon and Kibbutz.
Yeah.
It needs to be inside the Beged and Mafid, or either of those.
It's a good question. You know, if it's not inside the beged, so then there's very little to talk about. That's the case of notzos. If it's in the beged and you're not makvid, so then already there's
a correlation also, right?
I'm not really sure about that. Is that really do we consider it to be like a tarobas? It's an interesting question. You know, Michal Skinner talks about these things. Like, you know, why you can multiply malachos? Like, you know, you're also doing this, you're also doing that. I think once you say it's an issue, I don't think we consider that to be border necessarily.
So if you're not makhir, then it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see soon that maybe if it's vigorous, it'll be problematic regardless. And Sif Zayin, Mechaber sounds like that if you to take it off vigorously, it'll be problematic regardless. We have to see a little more. So we'll learn more, and hopefully we'll answer the questions. Talk good. Yeah.
Yes, with the price tag, so how practically would one get it off, right? Because like scissors would be a problem, right? Like scissors, is it with ripping?
Why would we usher to use scissors?
Our scissors, I just said assumed, yeah. That's
I think maybe we'll treat it with scissors.
Scissors are both our jobs.
Can you open, a bag? The klish malachto iser letzarech gufo pedigori mutter. Yeah, it's not a kli that's used. It's not like uvdim lechol type of thing. Meaning a kli like a brush for your clothing, that would be like uvdim lechol. But like scissors, you can use them for all sorts of things. So mm-hmm. I think that would be mutter to use scissors. Sometimes they're really hard. So you can't just rip them off. It's like very. Fine. Sif Gimel, Mechaber says, Mekalfim Kalim v'Shabbos L'tzorach Shabbos L'Lavsham Mekaplim. Rather, you're allowed to fold garments L'tzorach Shabbos L'Lavsham Bobayon. So, folding garments has just two issues here. One is the issue of achana. Am I folding something for after Shabbos? It's aser to be making even for next Shabbos. So, can I fold my Shabbos talis for next Shabbos? So, there's a problem of achana. Hachana is a relatively easy iser to get out of. So if there's any immediate need, so then it wouldn't be hachana. So let's say I really don't like, it's just not nice to have unfolded clothes. It bothers me emotionally. So if it really bothers you, it's mutter to fold them. Or if I don't fold it, it's going to get really wrinkled. So maybe it's not hachana because I don't want to be making, I just don't want it to get ruined. I don't want it to get wrinkled. So hachana is really not such a serious issue, excuse me. The Mechaber says if it's Lebov Yom, he's talking about when there would be Hachana issue, and he says if you're going to use it that day, then it's no Hachana. But I'm pointing out that Hachana is a relatively easy Isser, and often it could be avoided just by assuming there's an immediate need, namely not having it creased or just not being comfortable with, you know, your talus thrown across the, you know, it's just not, it's not Mechubed. So most of us, you know, make our beds in the morning because we don't want to have our beds unmade during the day because, like, you know, we're not yeshiva boys anymore, and, like, you know, our wives care if our beds are made, or we care. So therefore, if you're going to be in the room and it's not going to be comfortable for you, you can make your bed even though you're not planning on napping in the afternoon. Question?
So, if it's the regular,
Yeah, if it's a normal way to do things, it's also not a chana, right? If you usually put your sfarim back on the shelf when you're finished with them, so we don't say it's a chana for the next time you use them. It's just, you know, it's just the way you do use things. But there is another issue with a kippul, and that is that, well, at least once upon a time, the kippul was some type of tikkun for the kli. If you look here in the Mechaber, it says, V'davka v'adam uv'chadashim shadayin niskabsu v'levanim v'enu l'hachlif. So the question is this really true today? Meaning, you know, you take off your pants and you want to hang them on your hanger. So is hanging on the hanger somehow make the kippul stronger? Most of us, you know, you buy a suit, they come, I don't know what the machines they use, but it's a very strong kippul in the pants. So, right, yeah. Pardon?
You mean crease.
Yeah, so a lot of the modern books say, like, you know, you should hang your pants on a hook, and that's what I do. I don't hang up my pants on a hanger. I'm not convinced that it's really usher to hang your pants on a hanger because, like I said, you send your pants to the cleaners every few months, and like it's not like the hanging them on the hanger somehow strengthens the crease. The crease is there anyway, you know. So I saw some of the modern folks can say that's mutter. At least they leave it close. You know, this is the issue: can you fold your talus after shul? So once my son was davening at a shul, and he folded his talus, and somebody said to him, "Oh, it's a chil Shabbos." Chil Shabbos. So he came home, he asked me about it. It's like I usually fold the talus not on the creases. Like I fold them backwards. But like I'm not really sure if it's usher to fold them on the creases because like I don't. First of all, the Mechaber speaks about a talus, right? What's the lashon here? It's mutter in a case where it's lavan and chadash. So if it was never, you know, my son's talus was like new at the time, he was like 13 years old. So it was new, lenis kapsu and lavan. So anyway, it probably fits the bill in terms of the requirements. But the assumption is that in these types of begadim, you don't really care so much about the crease. So I just wonder, you know, again, I'm not going to go against like what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you know, because the besis might have changed, that's all I'm pointing out. The besis might have changed. This comes up in other areas of halacha, in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and in other areas of halacha, that could be our kibus, our gihuts, right, is different. So if the reality changes, the halacha changes. The halacha doesn't change, just the reality changes. So I don't fold my talus on the creases, but if you do, I don't think it's really usher ikra din, because I don't think that, you know, folding it actually strengthens the creases. If anything, you want to fold it so you don't want to have the wrong, you don't want to make other creases. So, okay. There's a minhag to fold the talus immediately after Shabbos. It's brought down on the Maril. Some say it's to start the week with the mitzvah. The assumption is on Shabbos you don't want to fold the talus. So some people just leave their talus like in a ball. I don't know, it doesn't look so mechubad. So I recommend folding your talus. Either fold it not on the creases, which, you know, which seems to be in line with what it says here in Shulchan Aruch, or fold it on the creases and assume that our talisim, you know, it's not really a tikkun. To leave it just thrown, you know, in a non-mechubad way, I don't think it's very nice. But again, it doesn't bother you, so maybe it doesn't bother you. There's a minhag that women often buy the talis for the husband. So even though explained the reason you fold the talis once to Shabbos isn't just because you want to start the week with you know, a mitzvah. It's also for Shalom Bayis. You don't want to have, you know, your wife bought you a talis, now you left it here. So the joke is that a guy forgot his talis in shul. You know, he forgot to fold it. So in the middle of the night, he woke up his wife to drive him to shul. You know, for Shalom Bayis, so he could fold his talis. Any question?
Is there a laundry adjacent issue with folding, or just not the
I'm not really sure. I don't think so. I don't think there's any
kibbutz.
You can fold clothes on Shabbos. Yeah, sir. Clothes. Let's say you have T-shirts. There's no actual fold, so you can fold T-shirts on Shabbos. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Potentially, it's a border issue if you're gonna, you know, if it's all mixed and you're gonna. Okay. Fine. I should mention, when it comes to folding, it's not only clothing, meaning a person shouldn't make origami on Shabbos. You know, that would also be folding. When it comes to just a simple napkin, So the minhag is to fold, you make one fold. We don't assume that's a problem. But sometimes kids want to make, you know, very elaborate napkin art. So that might be a problem. It might be a question of bona, you know, if you're going to, like, make it into a bird. You know, it doesn't last. But still, maybe, I don't think it would be derisive. Maybe it would be a issur drabanan. I saw some folks can bring that down, that you shouldn't make elaborate napkin foldings. Certainly origami would be problematic. Okay, Dalit.
So just on the napkins.
Yeah.
So would it be better to just like try to fold it over, but without, you know, trying to not push it down?
I think that we assume that one fold in a napkin is not a problem at all. You know.
When does it become a problem?
I think if you're making a tzura, if you're making something, if it's already elaborate enough that it looks like something, it doesn't just look like a napkin, it looks like a tzura. It's like, ooh, wow, it's like, you know, for the bar mitzvah, for the simcha, they're going to do something special. That might be problematic. You can also do it before Shabbos and just put it on Shabbos. You just shouldn't do it on Shabbos. You know? I don't think putting it in the cup is, you know, is very elaborate. It just looks like a napkin in a cup. I think that would be okay. You know, some kids are like, you know, they spend time and they fold and they make it look, you know, more.
What's great, someone at someone's house and ask you to help? They ask you to do elaborate
napkins. I have to use the bathroom. I don't know. You can raise the issue. It depends on the relationship. You know. I wouldn't necessarily give people musr for this. I don't know if it's so obvious that it's usr. You know, I'm saying it's a chashash. You know, somebody's doing it, so they're doing it. You know, you can, if you have an open relationship, you can raise the issue. If you don't feel uncomfortable, you can try to avoid it. You know, you'll help with the drinks. I don't know.
People get to, like, make a pocket for the utensils. Like, is that going now?
You're saying you want to put like the fork and knife into the. Into
like
the I've seen that.
It's
like a little pocket. So is that extensive? I don't know. It's what are you talking about? Is that like a extensive? I don't know.
It takes
10 seconds. It doesn't seem so extensive. It's hard to. I'm not really sure. Okay, but I've seen that. It's an interesting question. I just pardon. Oh, yeah, I don't know here it is. Yeah, I've seen it with material more, but the material is not a shayla, because, like, like if you have it like at a simcha, they'll have like a material napkin, and it'll make a pocket out of that. I haven't really seen that with like, you know, paper.
Why is it a shayla?
Because with material, I don't think it really folds, and like, you know, can you make? I don't know. I don't see that as.
Because you can't like.
They have creases from before,
so you do make creases. I hear you saying.
But if you can't make a crease, you're assuming it's not bona?
If you can't make a crease, is it really bona? I don't know. It's hard to imagine because it's just there. It's just like, it's like, I don't know. It's hard, to me, like, because it has the creases, it's like a tzura. So this is not an animal, this is a bird. This is a, you know, whatever it is. So I just wonder if it's like a material napkin that you just made in such a way that you're going to be able to put the fork and knife in, is that really bona? I don't know. To me, it's intuitively, I feel it's not. But it's like, it's certainly a judgment call. Okay. Moving on. Dalit is not so relevant. Mechabesh kukli shekovshim bo begadim achra kvisa. Vehem shtei lucho zel zev begadim ineim. Shmalabais mutareim lito menu begadim l'tzorech Shabbos. So they didn't send their clothes to the cleaners. They sometimes did it at home. So you'd have some type of like ironing board that would like, you know, fold, like it was like heavy, and like you put the suit in it and it would like make the suit get rid of the wrinkles. So if it's like a one you have at home, that you can take it out. They would like tie it up and leave it there for like 24 hours. So like untying that type of like professional machbesh would be kind of like soser. So again, it's not relevant in our homes. The Mechaber continues here. Hey, chaluk la'achar akvisa umiskasha v'shafshvim osu v'yadu l'racha. If you ever hang dry clothing, so it's sometimes a little bit like hard, so stiff. So how do you soften it? So if you move it, you can soften it, right? So even though the Mechaber said in Sif Aleph that there's no Malabin when there's no water, that's why he learned that the case of Minaris Tal is with Tal, it seems that that's only if you're doing it, and that's why he thinks you can like dust off your jacket if there's no dust on it. But that's only if you just dust it off lightly. But if you do it vigorously, even the Mechaber says it's a problem, and that's the case over here of a sudar, that if you have a towel, you want to soften the towel, so you just move it, that's okay. But if you vigorously rub a shirt that you hang dried and it's stiff, you want to soften, you don't just soften it, you actually make it, you clean it, so that would be a problem. Again, he's assuming you're actually cleaning it. Most of our clothing, once they're washed, they're totally clean. It seems like the quality of their kibbutz wasn't that great, so even after you do Mechabes, you still had some impurities, and by vigorously rubbing it, you're going to clean it more, and that would be a problem of mechaves. V'kovin u'shar klei pishta and dinan kesudar. Okay, so this is an issue of vigorously cleaning things is problematic. I mentioned before with, let's say, leather, even though leather is no isra of shriya, you can wipe off your shoes if they're a little dusty, right? Because the dirt isn't absorbed in the shoe, you can't start rubbing the shoes vigorously to get rid of mud and the like. That would be a problem of malabim. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. Let's see sif off. Tiet shal ragla. Person has. Don't forget, in those days most of the roads weren't paved, so you often had in the wintertime mud on your feet. On your shoes. Teach al raglo ominolav mekanecha bekosel of alo bekarka. So you can take the shoe and rub it on the wall. That's not a concern of being mostly of Albinian. It's not really bonen. Most people don't build that way. But you shouldn't do it on the ground. Dilma asi lashvui gumos. In the old days, things weren't paved. So if you had a little hole, you'd want to somehow smooth it out. So if your floor was dirt and you swept your floor, you wouldn't just clean the dirt, you'd also make the floor smoother, and that would be a problem of shvui gumos. Today, usually it's not relevant. Maybe on sukkahs, if you have a sukkah on dirt, you shouldn't sweep the floor because the floor is made out of dirt and you're going to make the floor more smooth. V'yesh mishah oser af, because some say it's oser mosil abinyan, v'yesh mishah mat mishneim, some say it's al mutter. And l'chora, today in our day and age, obviously there's no sort of, you're not going to use the mud to help the wall. It's not like, it's a different reality. And even in terms of gumos, we live in places where there's sidewalks and there's roads, and you're not going to be, obviously, you shouldn't be rubbing your feet on a dirt area if there's a guma there. But other than that, there's no concern. You can, rub your shoes on the side of the sidewalk or whatever to clean them off. Usually our shoes aren't so muddy anyway because we walk on the sidewalk. You can also take some cheres, it's not muksa, and scrape off the mud. Now you asked before about putting water on shoes. So if the shoes have stitching, then it's already a problem because the stitching would be subject to malave, and you can't put water on stitching. But if the shoes are just leather, then you can even put water on it. You can soak them. You can't vigorously rub. The post can point out that it's a question. Eights is not subject. Wood is not subject. If you have a linoleum, you have a stone, that's no iser mechaves. But when it comes to plastic, some of these people have plasticized tablecloths. So some post can want to say that plasticized tablecloths are like leather, that you shouldn't vigorously rub plastic on Shabbos, midin malavin, which is, if you have, when the kids were young, we used to have plastic. My wife doesn't like it, but I was in charge of the laundry, so I was like, okay, we're going to have a plasticized tablecloth. It sometimes gets sticky. So, you can put water on it, you can rub it lightly, but you shouldn't be vigorously rubbing plastic. And if you're concerned that it has the same din of ore, it would be a violation of this issue or the previous if of mishaf shafim. You can't do it vigorously. Okay. Questions, comments?
Is it why is there an issue of vigorously? Is it like Marsani or something?
Pardon?
Is Are you not allowed to rub the earth because it seems like...
No, I think vigorously it's like a maisek mechibus, even though it doesn't really absorb... I'm not 100% sure. Like, leather doesn't usually absorb water, but if you like let it sit and you start rubbing it, so then taka it'll clean from inside. That's the concern. Now plastic, I don't think absorbs at all, right? So why would plastic be like leather? Plastic would be like wood, and Shalom Yisrael. Suppose we bring down that you know plastic absorbs a little bit. I don't know. I'm not really. Pardon?
Plastic
is like leather. They assume plastic is like leather. You can put water on plastic. You can't put water on a regular tablecloth, right? That would be a sort of malabi. But you can put water on a plastic tablecloth, and you can rub it lightly. You shouldn't rub it vigorously. It's hard to know exactly. This is a part of the issue when the Matzias changes. How do you apply age-old principles to modern Matzias? That's a general problem. And I'm just telling you what it says in the postgame. You know, if I was writing this, I probably would tell you that plastic is like wood. But a lot of people say this, so I'm not going to... I haven't researched it well enough to tell you. I think plastic is bullied out a little bit, but I'm not... Yeah?
Can you rinse a towel, Charles? No,
you can't. You're not supposed to rinse a towel. We're going to see soon. There are a few heterim, but we'll see soon, hopefully this time. Tit shal gavi pigdo, meshavshim fnim. So a person got a chalent stain on their shirt. So the chalent is sitting on their shirt. What do they do? So you certainly shouldn't put water on it. Sometimes people, the go-to is you put a little soda, if something fell on this carpet. That's mamish and iser daraisa. Even though you don't want to clean it, you just don't want it to set. But that's in users, because by putting water, that's the first stage in how you do libun. And that's usir. I once heard, I think the name of Rav Neuberger, he said, 100 years ago, in the 1920s, the Nisayan for the American Jew was, should you work on Saturday? Because if you didn't show up on Saturday, you had to look for a new job on Monday. And in our generation, the Nisayan is, should you put the soda water on your on your suit? So Baruch Hashem, it's still a Nisayan. I'm not diminishing it, but it's we're in a different place. Although I'm told that today they want you to be working 24/7, so it could be the Shabbos Nisayan is coming back. But until 10 years ago, this wasn't okay. In any case, so you're allowed to rub it from the inside, which isn't going to be very effective. You shouldn't rub it from the outside. So this is useful. You can take your fingernail, you can take a knife, you can take a spoon, and you can scratch off the chalent. You don't have to sit there with the chalent. You shouldn't do it vigorously to get rid of the chalent. It should look, white. You're not allowed to put water, and you also shouldn't do it vigorously. So, interestingly, there's a concern of token. Let's say you have tit, right? Tit is mud, and the mud dried. So there's a concern of token. Maybe when you scratch it off, it's going to be considered token, which is interesting, in token achar token, but I guess here it's kind of like natural, so it became like mud, and it became dry, so it would be token. But if it's dry, there's this token issue. The Mishmur points out it's only Melacha Chen Tzrich L'Gufa, but it's still Aser. But he says Al Pi Einu Yehudi it's Mutter. So he argues that if you're really embarrassed, to cover the brios, sometimes people don't want to go outside. Don't forget they didn't have so many garments. Today your shirt have a stain. You have a stain in your shirt. You just switch your shirt. It's like if you only have one shirt. So what are you going to do? So you can have a guy. You can have a guy do it. Trade Ravanan. A guy can do shvus to shvus machlo mitzvah. That's a class, very important principle. You're allowed to have a guy do double Ravanan for you. It's very, very useful. Often, there's a double Ravanan, so you go staying in a hotel and they have cards. So you can have the guy open the door for you. If you assume that's a double Ravanan, that would be an example. But it happens a lot, double Ravanan, but by Meir Lach. Okay. I think it's still lach at that point. It's not going to crumble up. The concern here is that it's going to crumble. I don't think the shalant's going to crumble when usually.
Depends
on the shalant. Depends how early you catch it. If you only notice it mincha, so then it might be different. But the Mishmur calls a taz here who wants to say that it's mutter to scrape off even if nothing will be left, even if it's going to be a clean scrape. If you have something that. But the Mishmur argues. He thinks that, he says that if he actually makes the begin look nicer, so then it would be a problem of malavid. Usually a tough case. Usually when you scrape it off, it doesn't. Something remains. You can't. You know, it's a very rare. You can scrape it off in such a way that it's going to look, you know, perfect. Usually when you scrape it off, you'll see the ketchup. You'll see the red, you know, blotch of ketchup after you. Okay. Yeah.
So later on the day, when it does dry, it becomes a tarryoshi.
So then it's a question. Yeah, it's a problem to.
Wait, would you want to do the whole thing by like walking through the kiddush again?
Yeah, I think then too. You know, if it's not, if you just Chazal didn't ask for you to live. You know, you can't wet your garment, but you can walk outside in the rain. You're not going to say, "Oh, it's raining outside," so you're washing your raincoat. You shouldn't be allowed to walk outside. You're allowed to do normal things. So you know, you're allowed to wear your suit, and it's a good chance that it'll scrape off. You know, and that's okay. You know, I wouldn't be like, you know, rubbing it. You know, that would be. Well, it's very dry. I don't know if it's going to necessarily, you know, make somebody else's clothing. If it is, then ain't a kanami, right? I wouldn't want to chas v'shalom, you know. Okay. The Seder. Fine. Ches, Chaver says. This is really a different reality, that once upon a time the leather wasn't treated so well. So if you would take a knife and you like smooth your leather shoes, it would make them like, you know, better. Today, if you start scratching your shoes, you're going to ruin your shoes. It's not going to help the leather, it's going to hurt the leather. But if the leather wasn't treated well initially, so then the concern here is that when I'm taking off the mud, I'm also somehow benefiting the shoes. The shoes are now be more smooth. A machik. That's obviously not relevant anymore. Tes mutter lithin mayim al gabi minol l'shachshecho. Aval l'kabso d'hainu l'shachshev tzido l'zel z'osu. This is what I mentioned before. You can put water on a leather shoe to rub it a little bit, but you can't rub vigorously. Aval beget sheish alav lichlich osu afilu l'shachshecho to have a kibuso. If it's not leather, it is regular material, you can't even start rubbing it a little bit. So we mentioned, we asked the question before about wetting garments. So here the mechab, there's a big discussion about this. Meaning, can you wet a clean garment? It's clean. There's a libun by cleaning. We said wetting a garment is like cleaning it, but it's clean already. So I want to make a pad for a kid, you know, a baby. You know, want to. So there is a discussion about this. The our poskim who say rishonim who say that you can't wet even clean garments on Shavuot, some argue. So the Ramas brings this down. He says vegesh ein alav lichlich mutter, and then he says you shouldn't do a lot of water because Hashem yischot v'yeshos osim cholin, and someday it's aser. So I think we try not to wet. We hold shviyasin zukibus, and even on a beged that's clean. The Mishnah Berurah says we should be machmir for this, ideally. The Mechaber continues. This is the sheet of the Reim. He says you shouldn't even dry your hands. Your hands are wet. So if you dry your hands on a towel, then you're washing the towel. We don't hold like this. This is a sheet that nobody holds up. We assume it's derech lichluch. You know, even if we're not going to be makil to a wet, to a clean towel, but if it's derech lichluch, it's mutter. So when you wash your hands, they're now clean and wet. You can use a towel to dry them. We don't consider that to be a chashash of malavin. Yeah.
Is wiping off a spill on a counter with a cloth also considered?
That's also derech lichluch. That's derech lichluch. The only concern is if it's a type of you know, cloth that you might squeeze out. So some people in their kitchen, they have a little dishcloth that they actually squeeze out. Like if it's an actual towel, you're not going to squeeze it out in our day and age. You know, it's not just a little, you know, it's blue little, like, you know, cloths, you know, what are they, J cloths or whatever. So if it's a J cloth, that would be an issue because you might come to squeeze it out. But if it's a regular towel, it's always better to take a bigger towel the bigger towel the better, because there's no concern you're gonna squeeze it. And we hold derech lichluch, it's not a problem. Of Malabi. Just a second. In terms of contact lenses, I don't wear contacts, but people who wear contacts is a big issue, because the contact lenses have to be cleaned, apparently. So the solution has some type of... The concern is that they argue that the contact lenses are like, plastic, so it's like ore, so you shouldn't like vigorously rub them, and apparently putting them in the solution is like that. I don't know. To me, it's like a bit of a pella, because they don't look dirty, right? It's just some germs. So there are post-game who say it's not a problem at all. And other folks, they say, no, you have to be concerned that you should use the solution, but don't use the... Just put liquid. Don't use the cleaning solution. If you just have them in liquid, that's okay. So I don't know how practical it is, but that's what some people suggest. Anybody wear contacts here? So what do you do?
I started using one of these.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You can just put it in water. You can put it in saline solution.
Yeah, right. But the saline solution doesn't necessarily clean them.
Itself,
right. So they argue.
So you need to buy special salines or make special saline solutions.
So I saw some post-game said that if you put them in the solution right before Shabbos, then they're not really so dirty, so then you can take them out a few hours later and put them in the regular solution, because then it would be okay. Again,
water,
pardon?
Water, does that never put out the water
thing? A liquid, I don't know. Correct me, I made a mistake.
I'm not a Bucky in salt level of your eyes.
But, okay. You're not supposed to leave them out, because really they're going to get hard to get ruined, apparently. This is an issue that comes up with this. Fine.
Okay, so you're going
yes.
to that, like using towels and that.
Yes.
So what happens if liquid spills on Shabbos?
If liquid spills on Shabbos, you can clean it because it's derech lichloch. As long as you're not cleaning something that you would wring out. So if a person has, like I said, a J cloth, or they have a floor shmata that they sometimes clean, wring out, then it would be a problem. But if you take a regular towel, you're not going to wring it out, so it's not a problem.
So to use paper towels, if it's going to like completely soak through, like if you have pre-cut paper towels, so then is that going to be an issue?
So I think I don't think people usually squeeze out the paper towels. They just throw them out. But it's probably better not to just use one paper towel for a big spill, because then, even moving it might be an issue. If it's like a secretion, it's probably used to use a couple. But I don't think there's libun by paper. Paper, no, we don't clean paper, so I don't think there'd be an issue of, Okay, I see your time is up. I was hoping to finish the simon. Well, we'll pick up next week.
They make